Hello, and welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Well, as we all know, things in our world today are far from business as usual. The COVID-19 pandemic, protests in the streets, and cries of racial injustice have taken center stage. And that's why Pastor Rick has decided to set aside our regular programming in order to share his heart regarding these extremely critical issues. He'll be taking us through the small but mighty book of James in a series called A Faith That Works When Life Doesn't. In this teaching, Rick gives you the principles you need to live through a pandemic. Please be sure to invite a friend or loved one to listen along with you today as we continue with our series. Now, in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you how you can get the all-new Silver Scripture Box with a set of 52 new Bible verse memorization cards based on this series. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. And if you want, you can just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 for more information. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called A Faith That Counters My Bad Habits.
Hello, everybody. Now, in this series, it's my goal to share with you practical and biblical principles that'll help you navigate this crisis with your family, with stability, and with strength. You know, since I've been pastor of Saddleback Church for 40 years, this is our 34th national or international crisis that our church has been a part of, and we've taken leadership in many of those in encouraging others. So in many ways, our church was prepared for this because we've been through it so many other times, disasters, fires, floods, hurricanes, pandemics around the world as a part of our global peace plan. Now, while I can't physically protect you from getting the virus, I can help you be prepared for all the side effects of having your world turned upside down by this crisis. You know, this week we received more bad news, and every day it seems the pandemic continued to grow around the world. We don't know how long it's going to last, but God has not left us without hope and without help. And there's a book in the Bible called the Book of James. It was actually written to people who were under intense pressure and stress. Now, the crisis that they were dealing with was actually persecution by the Roman Empire. But the bottom line was that everybody's life was turned upside down. And in this book, James deals with 14 or more implications of what do you do when your life's turned upside down. And he teaches us how God wants us to live when we're under severe stress or in times of great change. If you're having a difficult time with anxiety, I really want to encourage you to go listen to the first message in this series that deals with anxiety. And if you're having a difficult time handling why all this is happening, I encourage you to listen to the second message in this series. And if you're having a hard time making some very tough decisions because you're out of work or your kids are at home from school and you're having to deal with that or you're isolated at home, I encourage you to listen to last week's message on a faith that makes tough choices easier. Now, this week, we're going to look at something totally different. One of the things that happens when we're under stress is we start looking for coping strategies to ease our anxiety. And unfortunately, often those things make things worse. And James has a lot to say about this, these distractions, these disturbances, these temptations. And he gives us wise advice on how not to be tempted by our typical self-defeating behaviors that we tend to go to in times of stress, our bad habits, the things we often do to comfort ourselves, to self-soothe ourselves when we're anxious or fearful or worried. So today, we're going to look at a faith that counters my bad habits, a faith that counters my bad habits. It's going to be a very practical message, but let's begin by reading what James has to say about temptation. James chapter 1, verses 13 to 16 says this: Never blame God when you're tempted, because God can't be tempted by evil, and he never tempts anyone to do the wrong thing. We are tempted by our own desires inside us. That's what drags us in the wrong direction and traps us. Our wrong desires lead us to wrong actions, and those sinful actions eventually end in death. In other words, it's a dead end. So he says, friends, Don't be deceived by every desire you feel. Now, there's a lot of material on temptation we're going to look at in this passage, but I want to point out that God has not left us powerless to deal with the things that tend to drive us or distract us when we're under stress. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5 says this, "Everyone who is a child of God can overcome sin." And that obviously includes the temptation to sin. "Can overcome sin in this world. What wins the victory is our faith." That's why we're talking about a faith that works when life doesn't. What wins the victory is our faith. No one can defeat the world's ways without having faith in Jesus as the Son of God. In other words, willpower doesn't work long term. Now, what is that verse saying to us? Well, it's saying that on this earth, you're never going to be sinless, but you can sin less. If you have a particular habit or a particular temptation or particular distraction that is your downfall and you tend to go back to it over and over every time you're under stress, you're probably going to have that the rest of your life. You're never going to have perfection on this side of eternity. But he says you can sin less. You can be less distracted. And I'm going to share with you from God's word 9 counter moves to keep you on track so that you don't fall in the same typical temptations when you get under stress, when you're cooped up at home. Number one, first, I need to know my default coping strategy. You need to know and recognize what's the typical way you stumble. I need to know my default coping strategy. Hebrews 12:1 says this, "We should remove from our lives anything that gets in the way." He's talking about in the way of our spiritual growth. "Especially those," circle this, "persistent sins that so easily distract us." Other translations call it the besetting sins. What he's talking about, each of us tend to fall in a certain area over and over and over and over in our lives. And we keep going, why do I do that? That's the persistent sin. That's the distraction. That's your default coping mechanism or strategy. Now, temptation, what is it? Temptation is always a distraction. It's the distraction to do something less than something better, to do something wrong than to do something right, to do something that's actually self-defeating than something that is self-building and making you more the kind of man or woman that God wants you to be. Now, let's talk about this. For instance, when we get under stress, we all resort to different coping strategy. Some of us resort to food, okay? And we tend to eat more when we're under stress. In other words, to cope or to soothe or to relieve stress. Others of us resort to drinking. Others of us resort to sleeping more, and you end up spending more time in bed. Some of you, when you get under stress, you resort to shopping. And if you're at home and online shopping is available, you can spend a lot of money that you don't have on things you don't need during this crisis. Some of us, when we're under stress, do binge TV and we watch hour after hour after hour. Your predictable area of comfort might be video gaming, and you're spending hour after hour on that. You can get addicted to that like you can do anything else. To drugs, to gambling, to pornography. Some people turn to porn when they're under stress. Other people, they turn to over-controlling. And the more they feel their life is out of control, the more controlling they become. And that becomes an irritation to everybody else in the family or in the business. Other people do the opposite, and they withdraw, and they pull back into shell, which is just as wrong. Other people, when they're under stress, they fall into the trap of angry outbursts and maybe even domestic violence. That might increase if we don't know how to deal with this. So I need to first know my predictable area of failure, where I tend to fall, where what's my default coping device. Second, write this down, I need to know my emotional triggers. If you're going to overcome the things that keep causing you to stumble, you need to know the emotional triggers. those are the things that make you vulnerable to your particular temptation. I want you to listen closely. A key to defeating temptation is don't focus on your behavior that you don't like. Okay? Don't focus on the actions, on your activity, on your behavior. Instead, focus on what you're feeling and what you're thinking that's causing those actions. Every action is caused by an emotion, and every emotion is caused by a thought. If you want to change the way you act, you got to change the way you feel. And if you want to change the way you feel, you got to change the way you think. It all starts in your brain. Now, Satan plays on your emotions. And of course, advertisers know this. They play on your emotions. They know what will manipulate you. Satan loves to hook your feelings. He's a master manipulator of your moods. By the way, do you know what the most common foothold Satan uses in your life to get your attention? Negative emotions. Negative emotions give Satan a foothold in your life. And that's why the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, above all else, guard your heart. Guard your heart, for it affects everything you do. Now, in the Bible, the heart is a metaphor for the center of your emotions, okay? And we know emotions are in your brain, we still say, I love you with all my heart, and I have a heart for this and a heart for that. We're talking about your passions, your emotions. And you are far more vulnerable to temptation when you are in certain emotional states, and you're less vulnerable to temptation when you're in other emotional states. Now, these differ from people to people. So there on your outline, I've made a brief list, and I'd like for you to circle which of those you say, that's me. That when I'm feeling that way, I'm vulnerable to my default coping strategy. I'm vulnerable to the bad habits in my life. When are you most tempted? This is the question that answers when. For most people, temptation goes up when we're physically exhausted. When you're physically exhausted, you're more tempted in a lot of different areas. And that's why during this COVID-19 crisis, you got to make sure you get your sleep, you eat right, you exercise, that you don't wear yourself out. If you're at home 7 days a week, it would be easy to work 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, and to wear yourself out. The more exhausted you are, the more you're a plaything for Satan. He can tempt you in all kinds of areas. Others get tempted when they're discouraged. Maybe when you're discouraged, you're pessimistic. That's when you're more tempted to your default temptation. Maybe it's when you're bored, or maybe when you're discontented and you're sitting around at home and you go, I've got cabin fever. And then you give in to a temptation. Or maybe it's when you're spiritually dry or you're empty. Or some people, they're most tempted in an area that's unhelpful and unhealthy to them when they're lonely or when they're disconnected, when you're insecure or you're unsure, when you're wounded or you're hurt. If you're holding on to a grudge, if you're resentful, you are a prime candidate for being knocked over by some kind of temptation. You can have sadness be a foothold in your life, or grieving, a loss. And of course, during this COVID virus, many people are losing a lot of things. People are losing their jobs. People are losing their retirement. People are losing family members. There's a lot of loss. And in that loss, there is no loss without grief. Just be aware that when you're grieving and in loss, you're more vulnerable. So I first need to know my default coping strategy. Where do I tend to stumble when I'm under stress? And then I need to know my emotional triggers. Why do I tend to stumble? What causes me to be triggered? Now, here's the third thing you need to know. I need to learn my patterns. Okay? I need to know my defaults. I need to know my triggers. I need to learn my patterns. What kind of patterns? Your patterns of temptation. Each of us have a unique pattern of temptation. Just like you have a unique fingerprint, you have a unique voice print, you have a unique heartbeat, you have a unique eye print. You are unique in many, many different ways of your life. That you're no two snowflakes are alike, no two human beings are alike. Even identical twins are different. you also have a unique susceptibility to certain temptations that don't bother other people. And your spouse isn't maybe bothered by that, but you are. There are certain situations that tempt you and others don't. And the devil knows exactly what your pattern is, so you better know your pattern. Now, if you can identify your pattern, then you can predict those problems in advance, and you can avoid those situations. You need to know what tempts me. You need to know why I'm tempted, and you know need to know when and where and all the other details. Proverbs 14, verse 8 says this, "The wise man looks ahead. The fool tries to fool himself, and he won't face the facts." Look ahead. We don't know how long this COVID-19 virus pandemic is going to last. We just don't know. But we are told to look ahead so that we don't wear ourselves out, so that we know when temptations are coming. Foolish people rationalize. That means they tell rational lies. That means they try to justify with their mind what they know in their heart is wrong. But mature people are self-aware of their patterns. So let me give you five questions. Write these down to ask yourself about your patterns. First question to ask is, when am I most tempted? Ask yourself that question. When am I most tempted? And then do a little self-evaluation. Which day of the week? Am I more tempted on a Friday? Or am I more tempted on a Monday or Saturday or Sunday? What time of day? Am I tempted more in the morning? Or am I tempted more at lunch? Or early evening? Or late evening? Or after everybody else is in bed? When am I most tempted? You know, I've always said I can handle any diet until noon. And the fact is, we're tempted at different times of the day. Number two, ask yourself where. Where am I most tempted? Am I most tempted at work? Am I most tempted in the kitchen? Am I most tempted sitting in front of a computer? And am I more tempted in front of the television? You know, right now, most of us are isolated at home, but you could be tempted at your neighbor's house. You could be tempted at 7-Eleven, at a sports bar. You could be tempted at a beach. It doesn't matter. You just need to know where you're most tempted. And my advice to you is, if that's a problem for you, avoid those places. If you don't want to get stung, stay away from the bees. You don't go to the bar to eat pretzels if you have a difficult time, controlling your drinking. So when am I most tempted? Where am I most tempted? You want to ask the question, who is with me when I'm most tempted? Now, this is an important question. Are you most tempted when you're alone? Are you most tempted when you're isolated at home by yourself? Are you most tempted when you're with a group of friends or with coworkers? Are you most tempted when you're with a crowd of strangers? Are you most tempted to get angry with your family? You need to know, who am I around? You need to know these things. Number four, what temporary benefit do I get when I give in to temptation? When I give in to anger, when I give in to food, when I give in to pornography, when I give in to controlling, when I give in to fear, when I give in to worry, when I give in to, what do I get when I give in to drinking? Do I get more comfort? Do I get more relief? Does it bring me excitement? Does it bring me false confidence? The Bible says in Hebrews 11, 25, there's pleasure in sin. If sin wasn't pleasure, nobody'd do it. If sin was painful, nobody'd do it. So what's the payoff? What's the payoff when I do this self-defeating behavior? And then number five, how do I feel right before I'm tempted? This is a good question to ask, to do your TQ, your temptation quotient. Am I most tempted when I get frustrated, when I'm scared, when I'm bored, when I'm angry, when I'm lonely? Am I most tempted when I can't sleep? It's very important to know your emotional triggers, what makes you vulnerable. Now, once you know your answers to number one, number two, and number three, here's the fourth step. Plan to avoid those situations. Duh. And plan to avoid those situations. Proverbs 4, 26 and 27. Plan carefully what you do. Avoid evil and walk straight ahead. Don't go one step off to the right, off the right way. In other words, if I know in that situation I'm going to be tempted to get angry, to exaggerate, to lie, to control, to be resentful, to be jealous, to be envious. If I know in those situations all these negative emotions are going to come out, well, it's a pretty good idea to avoid them if possible, where can. Okay? If you're trying to diet, you don't go and sit and do your homework, in an ice cream parlor or whatever tends to, Mexican food or whatever. You would carry healthy snacks with you. That's planning in advance. You're going to the county fair and you're going to eat fried everything and that's going to kill your diet. No, you need to plan in advance. Okay? If you struggle with controlling alcohol, you don't go to a bar to watch the game. Maybe you avoid airport bookstores. Maybe you need to block some channels on your TV and on your internet and on your phone. Now, sometimes you're going to get hit out of the blue, despite the best plans. You plan to avoid the temptation. But sometimes you're in an emergency situation and you get hit out of the blue, and that's when you need emergency tactics to keep you from falling to your default self-defeating behavior. And that's the next thing, okay? You ask God for help. That's the next step. Number five, ask God for help. He's willing, he's waiting, he's wanting to help you. Now, sometimes you just have to pray a microwave prayer. It's not a long conversation. What's a microwave prayer? It's one word. Help. Help. Mayday. SOS. Danger, Will Rogers. Get God, I need help right now. Now, the Bible is literally full of examples of people like David and Daniel and Peter and Paul who prayed those microwave prayers, one-wave prayers. God, I need help right now. I am being tempted. Psalm 50, verse 15. Look at this verse. Call to me when trouble comes, and I will save you. Call to me. And that call is sometimes literally a cry. It's a help, cry for help. Help, God, I need help. That's an emergency tactic. Yeah, you need to plan to avoid temptation, but sometimes it comes out of left field. Now, why can I expect God to help me? Because he's sympathetic to your situation. Look at this verse, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. Jesus says, the Bible says, Jesus understands our weaknesses. That means our default negative behavior, our default, way of coping with stress. He understands our weaknesses, for he faced the same temptations we do. Did you know that Jesus was tempted in all points like as we, the Bible says, yet he did not sin. Was Jesus ever tempted to be discouraged? Yes. Was Jesus ever tempted to be prideful? Yes. Was Jesus ever tempted to retaliate? Yes. Was Jesus ever tempted sexually? Yes. But the Bible says that we come to him because he knew how to overcome it. He faced the same temptation we do, yet he did not sin. He did not sin. So, it says, because he's been successful at overcoming the default behaviors of humanity. He says, let us come boldly to our gracious God, and there we will receive his mercy and grace to help us when we need it. Did you notice it said same temptation? That's what I was just saying. Did Jesus ever struggle with loneliness? Yes. Fatigue? Yes. Anger? Yes. He was God, but he was fully in a human body, so he had our same kind of temptations. All right, let's go on to number six. Here's a really big key to breaking patterns in your life when you're under stress. Number six, refocus my attention on something else. When you're tempted by anything, you're at home during the COVID-19 crisis and you're being tempted in this area or that area or this area or that area, this is the key. Refocus your attention on something else. Don't fight the temptation, just change your focus. It's like if you're watching something on TV and you don't like what you see on the channel, you don't say, I'm not going to watch this, I'm not going to watch this, I'm not going to watch this. You just hit the remote and change the channel. The reason we are easily defeated by temptation, you want to know why? Is because we try to resist it instead of refocusing. Don't try to resist the temptation. What you resist persists. The more you think about something, the more you're attracted to it. I'm not going to smoke that cigarette. I'm not going to eat that food. I'm not going to drink that beer. I'm not going to watch that porn. The more you're resisting, you're driving the nail deeper. You just need to change your focus. Get your mind on something else. The secret of defeating temptation is not fighting it.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. Now, if you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, Pastor Rick is always reminding us about the importance of getting God's Word into our hearts. That's why he created a brand new version of the Daily Hope Scripture Box, and it's beautiful. The new Scripture Box is silver with the look and feel of leather, and there's an embossed Bible verse on top. It's designed to hold the Daily Hope full-color Bible verse cards that will help you memorize God's Word. Right now, here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
One of the most powerful ways you can transform your spiritual life is to memorize Scripture. You say, I can't do that. Oh, yes, you can. The Bible says in Proverbs 7, verse 2, guard my words as your most precious possession. Write them down and keep them deep within your heart. To keep them deep in your heart, you have to remember them. That's why I've had my team create a beautiful scripture box so you can practice memorizing the verses. It's a collection of spiritual tools that will help you keep God's word in you so you have it when you need it most. You know, when you're tempted, you rarely have a Bible by your side. And when you're witnessing to somebody who doesn't know Christ, or they're under stress, or they need comfort, or they're in a crisis, there's not usually a Bible hanging around. So you need God's word in your mind so you can remember it. And then when you need them, the Holy Spirit can bring them back to mind. Now, the Holy Spirit can't bring up something you haven't put in your heart or in your mind. So store them in this beautiful box. It's a real pretty box that will make a great conversation piece. And by the way, this is a skill that you can learn. You say, I can't memorize anything. Oh, yes, you can. In fact, studies have shown that if you learn to memorize Scripture, your brain will actually get stronger and you will remember other things better as well. That's right. Imagine this. If you only memorized one verse a week, that's a good thing, okay? One verse a week. In 1 year, you will have memorized 52 verses from the Word of God, and you'll be so much stronger as a believer. So I hope you'll get this tool. We're doing it for you.
There are 52 new Bible verse cards included, which all feature brand new artwork and graphic designs. In fact, these cards are so beautiful, you can display them around your home. You can even frame them. This set of scripture cards is based on the series, The Invisible War. Rick picked out 52 Bible verses that will help you win the spiritual battles you face every day. Oh, and the scripture box? It makes a great gift, too. This practical spiritual growth tool is yours today when you support this broadcast ministry with a financial gift. Go to PastorRick.com to get this powerful resource, or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 today. Again, that's PastorRick.com, or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.